Lord, we love you tonight. How we do praise you, Lord, for the way you are ministering around, Lord, and moving on the hearts of people. And we are so worshiping of you, Lord, because you're the only one that can do that, Lord. You're the only one that can make a church go right, Lord. And we give you the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for protection from the snake, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you do those wonderful things. And for the many times that you have healed us and yet will heal us. For your protection on the highway. Oh, God, so many times you have delivered us and we have not even known about it. And we do give you praise, Lord. We're praising you tonight, Lord, because of what you've done, what you are doing. And we know that you have kept the good wine until now, Lord. The best days are ahead of us. And we are so appreciative of that, Lord. Get our feet on the solid ground. Now, Lord, we pray you'll bless those that are here. Meet every need. Answer prayer, Lord, that's on the hearts here. Answer prayer. Cause us to minister further, Lord, as we already have been ministered unto, until every need has been met. Bless the youngsters and the young ladies, young gentlemen, Lord, in the Royal Rangers and Missionettes. Bless the communion service. And let your good holy anointing oil be upon each one tonight. We love you, Lord. We lift up the holy name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Is it too warm here, Hank? You got pretty warm this morning. How many are too warm? Quite a few. The ones that aren't too cold are too warm. You didn't see their hands. They were behind you, mostly on that side of the ship. Praise the Lord. Now, when you get cold, you start shivering, and we'll run around here. Let's turn to Luke. We'll read chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. Luke. All right, Luke 21, 5 through 9, and here we go. Yeah, some are still looking for Luke. We don't haven't preached much out of Luke lately. One of the four Gospels is what it is. All right, here we go. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. I thought we'd look at some of these verses. The deception of the end time, I like that, where he says, many say the time is at hand, or they even say that they are Christ. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and disturbances, which we do all the time, do not be terrified, but the end does not follow immediately. So wars and all these uproars that people write books about, and the computer in Belgium, or wherever it is, and all these things, the end does not follow immediately. The Lord is showing us so we will have an appreciation of the God's calendar. And you know, I've been a Christian a number of years, some of you have too, and everything that happens, this was true in World War II, books were written that Mussolini was the Antichrist, and Hitler was the Antichrist. Stalin was the Antichrist. Someone recently wrote a book that man that Bredesen interviewed in Egypt, Sadat, who according to Bredesen was a fine man, he was the Antichrist. People buy these books and get all in an uproar. But Jesus said, the end does not follow immediately. And he has given here things so we can know when the end will come. Praise God. And wars are not a sign of the end. And disturbances are not a sign of the end. They're not, so he says, the end does not follow. Then he continued by saying to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes. I don't think we've seen all the great earthquakes that God has in mind. I think we're going to see some mighty earthquakes in our nation, according to the way the Spirit has been speaking. And in various places, terrors and great signs from heaven. Terrors and great signs from heaven. Things that terrify the hearts of people. Jesus said there shall be 2,000 years ago. But before all these things, before there are terrors and great signs from heaven, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my namesake. We have not had much persecution, our generation of charismatic people. We really don't know what persecution is. But throughout church history, the Christians have been persecuted. David Wilkerson tells us that we are going to be persecuted. And I believe that. I don't know whether I expect economic collapse, if it comes, would certainly bring about persecution in America. There may be other reasons. Our people are spoiled, and they're used to having nice things, good things, abundance of food, fun, entertainment. And if these things are ever taken from them, they will look around for someone to blame. And in the days of Nero, it turned out to be the Christians, and it probably turned out to be the Christians again. So just exactly how it's going to be brought about, I don't know. But I think our generation of people will see persecution. But notice what he says. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. I believe that even about the Great Tribulation. I believe any kind of tribulation or trouble that God sends, if we keep our eyes open, it will turn into an opportunity for testimony. We're not supposed to be panicked. We're not supposed to run to the hills and hide or lay up gold in the ground or anything of the kind. The Christians have been advocated to do this. I don't see it in the Bible. Now, if God leads you to do something personally, I think that's terrific. But as far as making a Christian doctrine that Christians are to store food and live in bunkers and buy machine guns, and some do that. I'm not kidding. Some do that. They're ready to hold off all the people that are going to come upon them, mostly from the cities, and hold them off. But I don't see that. It says persecution, these things will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. They say God's man's extremity is God's opportunity. And we need to be prepared not to save our own life, but to take every advantage to give of what we have. One of the biggest hindrances to the gospel today in the United States is the fact that there's little trouble. You give us trouble in this country on a big enough scale, and they'll listen to the church. I believe that. They may persecute the church, but they'll do something. Praise the Lord. I think whatever happens will turn as an opportunity for salvation of people if we are carefree about our own life. If we're intent on saving our own hide, we'll just run around like the rest of mammon. But if we are in the Lord, all these things will work out, will be an opportunity for a testimony. And who wants to save his own life? Man, when you think of the things that God has prepared for them that love him, why in the world we cling to this wretched existence in this cursed earth? And that's exactly what it is. Praise the Lord. You love your life. You haven't had enough trouble. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, we're grateful and thankful for all things that God has provided, but we're not in love with this world. We're not in love with this world. This world is not our home. We have turned away from our own hobbies and interests and things. We have turned away from those willfully and deliberately in the name of the Lord as He has led. And this world is not our home. Praise the Lord. We're just a passing through. Praise God. Wandering in the land of promises in a strange land. Aliens, pilgrims, strangers. We're not at home here. And we're not going to go to great lengths to save our own skin. We're more interested in the coming of the kingdom. So, he says, make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. Now, how about that? Yeah? We're brought before kings and governors. If we got arrested, the first thing we're going to go for is what? A lawyer. Make up your mind. I got my rights. Well, there's come a day when lawyers aren't going to help us. Make up your mind. There's a time for lawyers. There certainly is. There's a time to skip it. Give ourselves to God. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Now, this would be a hard thing, wouldn't it, if your parents delivered you up to torture, to prison. Your parents, your brothers, your relatives, your friends gave you over to be imprisoned. How would you feel about that? What would make a thing like this come to pass? What could you conceive of in our culture that would happen that would cause your own children to put you in prison? I'll tell you what will happen. If we raise a generation of children and we give them every advantage and we cannot say no to them on any line and they do not know what it is to bear responsibility, they have everything that they want. In the day when there is enough trouble, they will turn against us to keep their pleasures. See, because they don't know how to suffer. We are not to spare our children suffering. That's a hard thing. We are not to present the world as a sugar-coated opportunity standing and buffering our children so that they never feel pain. It's a hard thing. It's 1,000 times harder for some of us to have our children suffer than to suffer ourselves. Do you know that? It is so hard. My mother and father died a long time ago, and I've really been on my own since I was 17. And I have had many, many disappointments and pains, some dreadful, horrid experiences, but you learn to take it and to come back, don't you? You know what I mean? Yet we're afraid for our children to have these things. See? I've had cruel disappointments, but I can't stand seeing either one of my sons disappointed. That's a flaw in me. That's a flaw in me. That's a flaw in us Americans. I noticed in India while we were there that the adults were very firm with the children. With one another's children. I mean, the kids minded. Why did any kid so much as turned his head? I mean, these are little children sitting in church for an hour. I mean, the elders were on their feet. I noticed that. As a result, the children were happy. Right? As a result, the children were happy and that things were ordered. They were not beset among themselves because there were no constraints. But you see, if you did that in America, if you rebuked someone else's child, even in a church as closely knit as this one is, you know, you'd be in trouble. You know why? Because we don't want our child to suffer any pain. Any rebuke, almost any inconvenience. And that's the worst thing in the world for them, because when times get rough and the government says to them, you can have schooling, you can have this and that, if you betray their parents, they'll betray us. You don't buy love. You cannot buy love. I learned that teaching school. The successful school teacher in the elementary school, the pattern for success is to be stern and loving at the same time. You do that, the kids will love you. But if you ever sue for peace, to get there, to say nice things so they'll like you, they'll hate you. I don't know why that is. I guess it's something that God has put in children. So that's how this comes about, that children, is because that we have not made them one with us to share with us in trouble, in weal as well as in woe. And it's our own fault. We're in about the third generation now of permissive child raising. Absolutely destructive concept. And we need to pray that God will help us to recoup our losses, to get a hold of the situation and realize that if our children have to suffer, it's the best thing in the world because we ourselves had to suffer. Praise the Lord. Hard, isn't it? Much harder when you've been through it to go through yourself, say, I'll take one more knock, it doesn't matter, but spare my child. That's no good. They'll turn you into the authorities when the day comes. And we're in a generation that is just soft enough. If things got rough enough in America, and people were no longer able to have their great big television screens to watch for half the night while they stuff themselves with chocolate and watch X-rated movies and three-dimension and everything, when the day comes that they don't have that anymore and are brought back to a much more simple life, they're not going to take it, and they're going to lash out and destroy anybody that interferes with them. And honor and familial love and everything else will go by the board. And we are facing that day in America. Maybe some of you read Philip Wiley's Generation of Vipers, when people fight, I believe that was the book, where people fight for the bomb shelters and cast each other out like they did on the sinking of the Titanic, I believe it was, where you read about that. Well, either out of Lusitania, where the lifeboats went away and there were so few in each lifeboat and people were beating others over the head with oars so that they would drown so there wouldn't be another person in the lifeboat. That's what happens when people are not of character. And we need to pray to God to escape the culture we're in because it erodes your character and makes you weak and expecting the government to feed you and everybody to be nice to you, and what we're breeding is lawlessness, where people cannot stand to be frustrated in any way. You drive in front of you in the car, they're liable to get out and kill you. That's right. That's right. He says, you will be hated by all on account of my name. If we think that the world is going to love us, if we're true Christians and serve the Lord, how long is this situation going to exist in America where the world loves us? There's something wrong with our testimony. There's something wrong with our testimony. It isn't causing enough problems. It isn't causing the people of the world to be irritated and in trouble. And until it does, we're not bearing witness as we should. You shall be hated of all men. When we're not, something's wrong with the Bible. We're not bearing the kind of witness that it says in Revelation that says these tormented the people on the earth. We're not supposed to be singing them love songs. We're supposed to be warning them of the wrath to come. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! The gospel hasn't changed. And we've got to get a hold of God because we're part of the saccharine mess. He says, yet not a hair of your head will perish. And I want you to notice that. He just said, they will put some of you to death. Then he said, not a hair of your head will perish. They will put some of you to death. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. How do you account for that? Jesus doesn't feel that our physical situation is all that important. We're making too much of our physical situation. The great emphasis, and I say this, please accept this with understanding, but the gospel, if you read through the gospel and the epistles, they're not a formula for a successful family living.
or how to lose weight, or to be healthy, or to be successful. You know all of the New Testament epistles talk about? Just hold on, the Lord is coming. And don't, it doesn't matter if you suffer. And we've got to get back to that. What does he say about marriage? We have a tremendous marriage counseling from Paul. He says, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. He says, I will spare you. And you know what is true of every marriage? You have trouble in the flesh. The apostle was right. And then he didn't give a big formula to say, this is how you avoid trouble. He said, I suppose it's necessary. I say, Paul was a woman eater. Paul was not a woman hater. He was an apostle of Jesus, the girls in Bible school used to say. That's right, I remember that. Yeah. No, no. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had given up his life, and he knew how tenuous life is, and that what we are in this flesh, if we were slain, that doesn't mean that a hair of our head has perished. You see, it's a different point of view, and we've got to get it, or we're going to go down in the days to come. When we see the flesh threatened, we'll think, oh my God, everything is happening to me. It hasn't happened to you. The worst thing that can happen to you is if you're weak spiritually. That's when you want to start yelling and screaming. When you're not, but if something happens to your carcass, your miserable carcass, Jesus said, it's better to pluck out your eye than to be cast into the lake of fire. Notice how he deals with the body, see, than to have your body cast into the fire. Notice, see, that doesn't fit our theology, does it? Better to do these sorts of things. We say, oh yes, he's speaking in hyperboles. He's not speaking in hyperboles. This is the Son of God. He's showing us the relative merit of the Spirit versus the flesh, and the flesh profits nothing. And we are in a nation which pampers and caters to the flesh. But the day is coming to an end, and we have got to get our spirit's heart. Remember how Jesus said, their spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, and it made them sleep in the hour of Jesus' greatest need. And we need, you know, we talk about swimming uphill or going uphill. Everything in our culture militates against what I'm telling you tonight. And in half of the churches. And you've got to defy everything. Our education, our standard of life, our mores, our folkways, what's coming over television, the media, everything. You've got to go against it and say, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. That's not the way Christians are. Stuffed with chicken and apple pie. Silly ministers that can be bought. And I have no relationship to anything. That's a stereotype of the minister in the United States. It's an abomination to God. God is looking for prophets. And that's what he wants. People that will stand and tell it as it is. The Lord God before whom I stand. And God says, it's time to repent. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. That's a poor translation. It's literally soul, and it should be souls. It's our soul. It's at stake. In your patience, possess your soul. Now, when we're saved, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ gives to us eternal life, washes away our sins, and then our job after that is to hold on to the thing and not let it go. Maintenance. You've got to maintain your soul. You say, what's coming against my soul? Affluence. It's coming against your soul. And you have to endure the temptation to want to get into the stream of life, especially if you're an intellectual or academic. There are so many opportunities. But even in the other things, in the trades and things which are not based on many, many years of education, they offer great wealth in many instances. Opportunities to buy and sell. In your patience, possess your soul. We lose our soul! The man says, well, I've been very affluent. I know what I'll do. My barns are too small. I'll put more money in the bank. This may not serve me in my retirement. I'm not sure 200,000 will make it. This may not make me in my retirement. Who knows? It may not do. I'll build a bigger barn. That's what I'll do. I'll take care of my own. If I don't, I deny the faith, and I'm worse than an infidel. And God says, thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And where will those things be that you've laid up? thought of Catherine Marshall died. Many of us have been blessed. How many have been blessed by her books, by Catherine Marshall? It's wonderful that her husband had a tremendous ministry, and then I think the Lord took him so that she could have her ministry, rationalizing the situation. But she's gone. What a legacy she left. What a legacy that woman left. But others in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, have also gone. People of much money, enough money and status to make the national news. Where's their money? Where's the millions that they have acquired? Nothing. Their soul in your patience, possess your soul. That's what our culture is asking for, is your soul. You go and you work in a job, you know what they want? They don't want just your time, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. In the higher professions, they want your soul, they want your heart, they want your time, they want your thinking all day long. They want the best that you have to give. It's not tent making, brother, sister. That's trading your soul. That's trading your soul. Say, but everybody does it. No, they don't. No, they don't. You're trading your soul. And for what? Your security? You know what happens with the people when they retire? Many of them? They die within a year. Because they don't notice their aches and pains because they're so busy. But when they retire, all of a sudden they realize how sick they are and they die of fright. That's right, because it was masked because of their intensity on their profession. And you laid up your money and you've got your $200,000 in the bank and the interest and your bonds and stocks and everything else. And where are you? You're before Christ giving an account for your soul. Who owns it? Your company. Say, I have to. No, you don't. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies and recognize that her desolation is at hand, and this has happened in history, General Titus of the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem and then desolated it, the siege of Jerusalem, famous in history, around 70 AD, somewhere in there. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of the city depart, and let not those who are in the country enter the city. And those that fled were survived, and those that stayed there were destroyed. History bears it out. Because these are days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who were child, and to those who nursed babes in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to its people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led captive into all the nations. And that's what happened. And Jerusalem was trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that has happened. And today we are in the... You know, when the Jews once again have their feet in the Holy Land, but Jesus told all that in advance, and it has happened. Now he comes to another set of things. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Now I want to submit to you, this has not happened yet. I don't believe this has happened anywhere in the scale that the Lord has in mind. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens, by the heavens it means space as we know it, the sky. We're going to see the day when the very heavens themselves are shaken. And men will be afraid. What is coming to pass upon the earth? And they will be frightened. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things, now he's referring to signs in the sun and moon and stars, dismay among the nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Now that has not happened yet. When you see these things, begin to take place. Not the wars and rumors of wars. They are not the signs. The signs of the end have not occurred yet. They have not taken place yet. According to the scripture, the Lord's coming is not tonight. And people who preach a coming of the Lord or a rapture prior to that. Someone said to me recently, You challenge a rapture, boy, you must have courage. I don't have courage. It's the people that preach that there's a coming beside this that have the courage, because they are resisting Jesus Christ. He didn't preach any coming prior to this time. This passage is about the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no secret coming prior to this. That's the false Christ saying he's here and he's there. So they've got the courage, not me. I don't take courage to preach what God said. But I'd sure be scared to preach something he didn't say. Hallelujah. Well, that was free, you know. All right. The Son of Man is coming, but he's coming after there have been signs in the heavens. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Well, what does that mean? That means that we'll be saved from the devil and from the works of the devil and the last enemy, which is physical death. And the Lord will come and we'll have peace and glory and be saved from all our problems. That's our redemption. Right now we still are beset and buffeted around by the devil. We haven't been redeemed in that sense. But we have the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a guarantee against the redemption which is to come. And when we see the powers of the heavens shaken, then our redemption is at hand. That's what the Bible teaches. All right. And he told them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it, and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Even so, now people say that means because Israel became a nation. That isn't the these things that it means the Lord is coming. What are the these things that are going to take place? The signs in the heavens, not Israel becoming a nation. The signs in the heavens, when you see these things, the sea and the waves roaring, when you see these things, then you know that the kingdom of God is near. Praise the Lord. Well, the kingdom of God is that holy city we've been telling you about. But the kingdom of God is on earth now in us. But when that day comes, all the saints that have had the kingdom of God in them will come with Jesus, and we shall be changed, and the world shall see the glory of God. That's the kingdom of God is coming when there's these signs. All right, now he says, truly I say to you that this generation, what generation? Well, not the Jewish race. The word is not the word for race. It means this generation. That is, the generation that sees those signs. This generation. When you see these signs, then know that it's the kingdom is at hand. This generation sees those signs. And they haven't come yet. Will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. Now, the rationale for the pre-tribulation rapture, the primary rationale, it's not scriptural, but the primary rationale is this. If we tell people, as I have told you tonight, that God isn't going to come tonight, guess what? They won't get ready. Did you know that that is the prime rationale of the pre-tribulation rapture teaching? That if you tell people the Lord isn't coming right away, that they will go ahead and live like the devil. What does that say about people? What does it say about those people? They will not serve God if you tell them Jesus isn't coming tonight. And I'll tell you what their assumption is. Their assumption is this. And here is a fatal flaw in human reasoning. And it happens with people out of the context of the rapture. It happens with people who believe that Jesus is a ticket to heaven and deathbed repentance. I will wait until I know that my day is over or the world is over, and then I will do the number and I've licked the system. I beat the system. I knew when it was going to happen. going to beat the system. See? What they're saying is that people are so basically scurrilous that if they know the Lord isn't going to come tomorrow, they'll live like the devil. What does that say about their love for Jesus? It says they have none. That they're only using Him as a ticket to the show. Their hearts are not in Jesus. And the people they preach to, their hearts are not in Jesus. And they know that if they know Jesus isn't going to come, like children. When I was teaching school, about four-fifths of the way through the year, I would have what I wanted in that class. And this is public school, children. I never was able to accomplish this in a Christian school. I don't know why. I guess my gift was for the public school. But about four-fifths of the year, that class, rich neighborhood or poor, I've taught in both of them, I could go out of the room to the principal's office and come back, and everybody was sitting there studying, and there wasn't a peep out of anybody. And when I saw that, and it would come all along in May or so along in there, and I say, praise God, this class has got the message. You don't study because the teacher's there. I'll tell you a funny thing that happened. I've never forgotten it. As a school, I'm on tapes. I don't want to mention it. I don't want to embarrass anybody or raise any questions. But this happened as I stand here, Scout's Honor. It was in a school where we were getting ready to move to another school. It was the last year that this class was going to be. These were portable buildings. And this happened in a portable building. And we had helped, the kids and I had helped move all the chairs. There was no chairs left in the room, just a ledge around the room that was built into the portable for books. I told you this before, didn't I? I didn't tell you. Anyway, but this happened. And it was the last day of school. Anybody who's ever taught school can tell you, the last day of school, be sick or something, because that is terrible. This is the last day of school. We didn't even have desks, nothing to control the children. And we had moved the stuff out. The kids had helped move. They'd done a tremendous job. And I had to be out or something, was discussing something with the principal. And this happened. I come back into the room, and the kids were around the room sitting on that built-in ledge. And one of the children said, command us. I tell you, I jumped, you know, like you hear something that has a kind of a prophetic guard. It didn't sound right. This was a sixth grade class. Sixth grade children, 11 years old. Command us. This was a secular school in a well-to-do neighborhood. Well-to-do neighborhood. Parents, all professors, and highly placed people. Command us. Praise the Lord. It's like the Lord showing what the world is going to be like in the age to come. They say in Isaiah, we will go up and we will learn of the law of the Lord. I wouldn't give you a fig. I wouldn't give you a rotten fig for a Christian that would not serve the Lord if he knew the Lord wasn't coming the next 5 minutes. He doesn't love Jesus. He just doesn't want to miss out on going to heaven where all the gold is. Think about it. And you'll see the fallacy of that assumption. But there's a far worse error in it, and it's this. God will not be mocked. I'm going to show you a verse that the King James translators backed off on. In fact, nobody. No, I haven't read any translation that translates this verse. Well, it's the Hebrew, and that's in Psalms 18. I'm not through with the other chapter, so don't lose it. Psalms 18. You won't believe this when I read it. You won't believe this. 25 of Psalms 18, verse 25. Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Okay? With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And now comes something that you can't understand in him. In the King James, it says, with the froward, or froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. And what it means literally is, with the perverse, thou wilt show thyself twisted. twisted. In other words, you play games with God, God will play games with you. God will deceive you.
Oh! God would never deceive anybody.
Our Santa Claus in the sky. Look at 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Oh, God would never do that, Brother Thompson. He would never show himself twisted. You must be the one that's twisted. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 11. And for this cause, because they didn't love the truth, doing their number on, I'll wait till I'm on my deathbed and too old to do anything else, and then I'll accept the Lord. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I'll tell you what happened. God watches your heart. And he says, this man is a Jacob from the word go. He's gonna play games with me. The one that invented the games. He's gonna have a good time and worship the devil. And why not? Because the devil is in his heart. He's gonna make a profession of Jesus because he thinks in doing so he's got me by the throat. Then he's going to live like the devil. And then on his deathbed, he's going to say, Lord Jesus, save me. See, you think God doesn't know that? With the perverse, thou wilt show thyself twisted. You will never get it out of your mouth. Because you'll find out that what will happen is, when you go to repent, you can't. Repentance is a gift. You free that in Acts. God grant them the gift of repentance. You can't just say, I'm going to repent. God has to give you the Spirit to be able to repent. And there you are on your deathbed. You figured out, well, let's see, I've got about an hour to go. I certainly can't have any more fun now. So here I go. And that's the end of you. He showed you perverse. But if, Brother Thompson, if you say that the Lord won't catch him by surprise, do you know that in the day of the Lord, for you to be saved, you're going to have to take a step of faith? I preached this before. You remember the virgins? They were not ready. They had to do something. All right, here you are. You say, all right, Brother Thompson, the signs haven't taken. That's what I'm saying. I'm on tape. I'm on the record. I'll stand with it. These signs we haven't seen. The nations are not in dismay yet over the sea and the waves roaring. The signs haven't happened, so Jesus will not come. But the generation that sees those signs, the Lord will come within that generation. That's what the book says. Okay? Well, that's a long time off. These signs in the heavens might take a while. So why not spend my time, make my household tidy? Because the Lord is, he can't catch me that way. But do you realize what happens? Is that you are forming your character. You cannot, in the land of ease, tear yourself away from your gold and your security and your houses and your land. You cannot do it because they're binding you. But you think when the Lord comes that you're going to be able to? It will be more difficult then. It will be more difficult then. And the things that you are sowing today will govern your ability to move tomorrow. And so, that's why the Lord said, remember Lot's wife, because you won't be able to move. That's why there's no danger of telling people the Lord isn't coming tomorrow. It will come as a trap. And if you are not turning away from the world now, you will not be able to then. You say, but if I see him, and I realize what's at stake, then I'll turn my back. No, you will not be able to. You will turn around and it will be too late. He said, don't look back. And you will not have the ability to do that. Then he says, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down. See, that's it. Is your heart heavy tonight? Weighted down with what? Dissipation. Drunkenness. And the worries of life. Worries of life. They weight your heart down. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all, suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. They will see, the peoples of the earth will see the signs in the heavens, and they'll know it's in the Bible. But it won't move them. The scientists will analyze it. And they will say, now, the reason that these are shaken is because there's been a black hole in space for so many years, and this is an action that has caused this, and they'll spend all their time, yet it'll be in the Bible. And yet the Christians will read it, and those who are busy making money and buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage, saying, I hope the scientists are right, I hope that's the way it is, that's how it will happen. You say, it can't happen when it's already written in the Bible. You know, there's a rebellion at the end of the millennium, and it's already written in the Bible. The Bible tells us a whole bunch of things that we know and we don't do. Jesus said, except ye lay down your life and take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. And there'll be people come before God. They'll say, but I said Romans 10, 9 and 10. I said it three times. But didn't you read in the Bible that unless you lay down your life and take up your cross, you're not worthy? Well, yes, I read that in the Bible. Well, why didn't you do it? But. I didn't think you meant it. I'm God. You think I don't mean what I'm saying? Yeah? You need to catch the Jewish ring in that? That's right. The Lord Jesus. He's told us. And yet we read it, but it doesn't dawn. That's how it come on people like a trap. Their lives will have shaped them to say, tomorrow I will serve the Lord. Tomorrow I will serve the Lord. Tomorrow the signs will come, the heavens will be shaken. Well, I can't. I've only got one more day. And then my company puts in its share of the retirement. One more day. One more day. It'll happen. Sure as God made apples. It always happens that way. Well, Brother Thompson, that may be 20 years, 30 years, 40 years away. That's right. But you may not be living tomorrow. See? Because there's another coming of the Lord. And that's to you personally. And you may not be living tomorrow. So you don't have to worry about the rapture or anything else. Because God hasn't given you a guarantee of anything. Praise the Lord. Those of us who are older, we know how suddenly it can come. One day you're fine and you're healthy and you're making it great. You're talking with all the old dudes at the barber shop. Next time you go for a haircut, there's one dude missing. About your age. That's right. It happens. You know that when you go to try to get life insurance and you see what the statisticians say about the situation. So it behooves us in a day of where there's 100,000 heart valve transplants a year. Not to mention all the other afflictions. The only thing that matters is a short account with God. That's all that matters. You say, keep on the alert. At all times, pray in order that you may have strength to escape. Now, people use that for the rapture. That has nothing to do with the rapture. It's talking about spiritual strength to keep from going under in terror and losing your salvation through sin, through the lawlessness. You see, you get enough evil. I don't know if any of you have experienced this or not. But you get surrounded by enough evil in your environment and your spiritual life begins to go down. You can overcome it for a while, But pretty soon you can't forgive, and it just piles up on you, and it just takes you down and down and down. And pray that you may have strength not to escape from persecution, but to escape from spiritual dissipation, the inability to stand before Jesus. That's what we pray for. Not that our precious little bods won't be hurt, but that we can stand before Jesus and not go down under the weight of fear and dismay and oppression. And it's on us already, isn't it? And we're having to pray to keep the victory. Isn't that true? We're going to have to pray as a church. Two or three people can't carry it. Everybody in this church is going to have to be praying. You can't afford to come to church without your own problems prayed through. There may be a newcomer to the church that's lower in a snail's belly. And here you come, and you should have the victory, and you don't because you haven't been praying. And you expect people to buoy you up and hold you up, and you've been a Christian for 5 years. It's time you should begin to come and lend your strength. Not come and say, are they going to have a good meeting tonight? You bring the meeting. You bring it with you. You bring it with you. Don't count on a couple of people. Pray, because the pressure is going to get so great that the pastor, the deacons and all aren't going to be able to do it. It's going to take every member praying like mad to hold off the oppression that's coming on us. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, you've portrayed it so clearly in your word, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that these mighty shakings of the space and of heavens and of the heavenly bodies, Lord, certainly to our knowledge have not occurred as yet, Lord. The waves and the sea responding to planetary disturbance until the civilizations of the world are dismayed, Lord. We see rather in our day more concern with wars, the things that you said were not a sign of the times, Lord, but we do not as yet see the galactic style disturbances, Lord, that you said would take place. Nonetheless, Lord, we know that we cannot wait until some unforeseen date, and in that day say, now I will turn away from the world, and now I will seek the Lord. We know it will never happen. We know anyway it is an evil heart that says such a thing. It's a heart like Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh that cares nothing for God but about its own cattle. We know it's an evil heart that does not love Jesus and will not serve Him unless they're threatened with hell. Jesus, save us from a perverse generation. And help us, Lord, to do everything in our power and beyond our power, Lord, through your power, to alert our nation to the spiritual danger that it is in, having turned from the living God to worship money and entertainment, having turned from the living God to live in the ease, while the third world nations languish without food in many cases and without the teaching in almost all cases. Yet we feather our own nest and say, how happy and secure I am. And yet, God, you will hold us accountable for the nations in our day that have not heard the name of Jesus. Now help us, Lord, not to be foolish. Not to be foolish to make such a foolish thing. To build bigger barns. And not giving of ourselves as we should. To the tremendous task, Lord, which it appears a very few people are attempting to do. Oh, Lord, we love you. Don't let us be unfaithful, lazy servants in a day of harvest. Jesus, help us to realize, Lord, our own nation trembles on the edge of judgment. And our pitiful possessions, Lord, someday we'll have to serve you without them. God, get us ready today. Get us ready today so that we discard our own lives with abandonment to give the testimony that must be given. Oh, Jesus, give us a right balance view of the worth of the Spirit versus the worth of the body. Help us to see that, Lord, and not to live in the flesh. Let's praise the Lord. I ask the elders, if they will, to get the communion elements. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our hearts for the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There's someone you're bitter against. Let the blood heal you. It will forgive. The power to forgive. Hallelujah. If you've got a bondage in your life tonight, let the body and blood of Jesus break that yoke. Hallelujah. Why should you go down to hell with your possessions when you could be free in the Spirit of God and have an abandoned joy to your own security? Oh, Jesus, we need that so badly in our culture, Lord. It teaches us to trust in money in interest of all things. God, deliver us from this delusion and help us to save our own souls and the souls of many others, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let this night be the night that you say, I am not going to do so foolishly, waiting till some unforeseen date in the future to do what I should be doing, because in that day you may not be able to. It may be too late. Too late. Too late! Jesus. Oh, Lord. Lord, wake us up. Wake us up. Do whatever is necessary, Lord, to get us going. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Let your warning seep deep into us, Lord. Deeply into us. Deeply into us, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Drunkenness and the cares of life, worries of life, hearts weighted down. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus, we need your help. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ili arabahai arabakahan alabakahasi kisili arabahai. Oh, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. 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 Ili arabaha yarabaka hanarabaka hasikis. Ili arabaha. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Avarakahashiki sili arabahaya. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are the ones coming in, saints, that need us. They don't need a lot of presents. They don't need a lot of money.
that we should buy their love. They don't need that. They need us. The time. The care. Not a money substitute. Character coming from us. From mother and father. So that they become one with us in our joys and our sorrows. Feel the burden. The finance or whatever it be. It won't hurt. Let them know. Bring them into your counsels. Turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Children to the fathers. Praise the Lord. Jesus, forgive us, Lord, for not understanding. Praise your name. For not understanding. Praise your name. Ready whenever. Praise the Lord.
Remember me.
Reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread? And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for your words, Lord, that you died upon the cross for our sins and then spoke down through the centuries, Lord, till the time when you came again. And we do remember you tonight, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us through the strength that is in your body to possess our souls, not to be victimized, Lord, by our environment, our culture, but to live as we should, Lord. Hallelujah. By your strength, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We accept the health and strength tonight. Shall we partake together? After the same manner also he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup? When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Lord, we examine ourselves, and Lord, our determination is to serve you. We're not interested in playing games. We're not interested in being foolish and wandering about, Lord, with our head in the sand. We want to live in your kingdom. We want to be obedient. We want to do your will, Lord. The cost means nothing to us, Lord. Neither do we regard our own life. We want to do your will. Hallelujah. That we may be able to live with an abandoned joy and without worrying eternally, Lord, about our own health and well-being. Help us to be abandoned and joyful, that we may delight in all thy ways without regard for our own life, Lord. Do the job and do it well, that we may live before you. Help us, Lord. We trust in you. Thank you for shedding your blood for us, Lord. Shall we partake together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Shall we stand? Oh, glory. Let's let the Lord lift from us all concern. Hallelujah. All worries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister, Lord, to thy people. Lightness of spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift every yoke of sickness in this room, we pray. Every yoke of sickness, lift it from us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift from us, Lord. Hallelujah. All that is not of Christ. All that would hinder us, Lord, in our pilgrimage. Lift it from us. Lift it from us. Hallelujah. 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 Cause us to live, Lord, before thee in joy and in victory. Lord, hallelujah. We reject and repudiate the flesh and its claims, Lord. Oh, cause us to worship thee in the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels.
Oh, come let us adore him.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, worthy. Thou art worthy of all praise, O Lord. Thou art worthy of all praise, O Lord. Thou art worthy of all praise, O Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We give praise unto thee. 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 Ili alabahai alabahandala alabahai shiri alabahai. Ili alabahai alabahandala alabahai shiri alabahai. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. Hallelujah. Praise. After we dismiss, if any want to come and pray at the altar, we'd be glad to stay and pray with you. There's a need. I'm going to ask Brian Marley, if he will, to conclude in prayer.
Oh, Lord, your word says that you hold the heart of the king in your hand, Lord, and you turn it whithersoever you would. And, Lord, we just pray tonight that you take our hearts, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Where there be insincerity, where there be deception, Lord, where there be conniving, Lord, where there be many things, Lord, we pray that you would take our hearts, Lord, and you turn them to you, Lord.
Yes,
we pray, Lord, you turn us again unto you. You cause your face to shine upon us, that we should be saved, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you take, Lord, our hearts, and let them be true, Lord, and let them be pure, Lord, and right, Lord, and not motivated from something ulterior, Lord. God, that it might be true and it might be from a heart of love for you. Lord, just put within your people, Lord, a true desire just to follow and to obey you out of a heart of love. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the liberty that you bring. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone.